Everybody, welcome to Crypt Chat, your weekly podcast for everything disability. Today I have with me Jonathan Shah.
Hello.
ABD.
Hello.
And myself, David D. In the honor of the Carers Week, today we'll be talking about people with disability and their carers in Australia. So, Ibi.
Yes, David.
Elaborate on Carers Week and people with disability. And the carers.
Yes. Thank you for that, David. Welcome everyone to Crip Chat for today. We'll be talking about carers and how to best use, but also form a relationship between you and your carers. So, look, a bit of experience for me. I got a guardian, so a mother, who is also my carer. And so, what that means is that she'll be providing, you know, support for me whenever I need it. It's sort of a kind of different to support work. So, Jonathan, do you think it's different to support work?
Yeah, it's different to support work. It's our mind, father, our siblings who support us, and it's important we recognize their contributions.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have a carer or someone who plays a carer role in your life?
I have my mother and father who support me around the clock.
And so, what is their role in the carer space for you, Jonathan?
Their role is to help me with, you know, feeding and dressing and being a moral support, which leads us to our first question.
Yeah. So, David, question to you. What do disabled people need so that carers can be mothers and fathers and family members and friends rather than carers onto the grave?
One does it for payment and one does it for the love. They do it from their heart. One feels like they're obligated to do it and one can quit at any time. One feels like a job and one doesn't.
So that's the difference between a support worker and a carer.
It's the same thing, but a support worker can come and go and they can be fired. But one does it just for the money. Rather than for love. But they can both do it for love also.
Yeah. Nah, true. But it's also built around trust. You know, trusting that person to be in your care. And so once you have that trust, you'll form, a beautiful relationship between you and your carer. Ideally, carers are there for the long run to support you whatever you need.
Yeah.
I guess there's a different relationship you have with support workers as opposed to your carers. Is there a difference between relationship you have with your support workers as opposed to your family.
So the difference in relationship between support workers and carers?
Yes.
I think with a carer, it's more long-term, whereas with a support worker, ideally, it's a temporary. David, what are your thoughts? Do you agree?
I agree, but it could also mean the same thing. See, within the NDIS, your carer cannot be paid because it's conflict of interest, but your support worker can.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely true.
But in that case there, your carer has to take out of their time. Instead of them working, they lose money. So why can't the carer also get paid for NDIS?
Well, I guess there's other, benefits from the government in relation to, carers.
The carers allowance.
Yeah, carers allowance, for example. And payments are made to carers. But look, moving on, David, are carers actually volunteers or are they forced into the role?
Well, you know what? They're volunteers, but they're sometimes forced into the role.
Can you elaborate on that?
It could depend. If they're married to the person with disability, they've volunteered themselves. But if they're a child of a person, that's forced into it. But it could also be volunteered because at the end, that person there, because they love that person so much, they volunteer themselves.
I guess, look, with carers, they do have, government benefits that they do get paid by the government to take care of a person, with a disability. But I guess most of the time, they volunteer. Usually because there's love and there's trust formed, but also because when somebody is in need of support, carers are supposed to be there to provide that support.
And you got to remember, when that person lives with that person, they know what they like the most and they know them the best. They like to give them the best support they can.
I don't believe that's true. I believe that we, people with disability, are the experts in our own lives. We know what's best for us. A carer is there to support us with our journey, with our lives.
Yeah,
we do know what's best for us. Sometimes people with disabilities, their parents know exactly what they want next. They know their routine.
True, true, David. But then at the end of the day, they gotta will teach, but also educate. They gotta educate, people with disability to be more independent with their lives, with their decision making. And then they grow up to be, our leaders, to, have a voice, be in control.
Yeah.
Rather than them, sheltered away.
Yes.
Go on, David.
Sometimes it's good to have one support worker or two that are used to that person. Because if you keep chopping and changing, a person with a disability ends up being lost in translation.
Yes.
Is the hero and martyr narrative around carers damaging for both carers and people with disability? If not, why and why not?
Can you explain it?
I think what the question means is that the idea of, carers being the hero of a person with disability, sacrificing their life in a sort of way to look after a person with a disability.
A lot of people, they do give praise to the carers, but some people think, okay, they love what they do. See, it depends on the carer. Some carers do it for a job. Some carers do it for a job and because they love
them. We have a comment.
Yep. So, one Facebook user said, no, I'd lost the voice and control too. Now, another Facebook user said, yes, we had lost voice and control. In some, I guess, families, people are often sheltered, and so they lose their voice and control. Ideally, it shouldn't be that way.
Yes.
I encourage, you know, people with disabilities to use their voice, be more involved in your community. Just educate, you know, the carers around you into making you feel a part of the community, making you, I guess, engage with people in your community.
It's very important to let your support workers or your carers know you like things the way you like them, not what they like. So you do what you want. Have the conversations and let those carers or support workers know what you want to do, not what they think they want you to do, because that's what they're there for.
Have those conversations, you know. What about carers who are also disabled people themselves? Do government and civil society recognize them?
They should recognize them, because some people have less disability, but they're still helping each other.
Yeah, so hidden disabilities. There's also those assumptions that are being made by people in our communities. They say that, oh, because you are a person with disability, that you require a carer or need someone to look after you.
Yes.
Now, it may not be the case. There are some people with disability out there who are carers themselves.
I guess we have policies and legislation in development such as the Care Gateway and the National Carers Strategy.
Okay, so there's less legislation happening with Carers Gateway and also the National Carers Strategy.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Thank you for that, Jonathan. And over to you, David.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me if I'm married to a blind person too.
Oh, yeah. There's assumptions that people make. If you're in a wheelchair, you have to date someone in a wheelchair. It's part of legislation. No, I'm just joking. For the people out there, that was a joke. It's not part of legislation, and it's completely ridiculous to assume that. We're all humans. We're all, you know, meant for each other. Disabled or able-bodied, we're all human beings at the end.
We can have a relationship with someone that hasn't got a disability.
Of course you can, David. So, David, are carers part of careers, or is it a permanent thing?
There can be a career, and there can be a permanent thing.
It depends on the relationship you have with the client or the person that you want to look after.
Yes, whether you're married to that person, whether you're a parent to that person, whether you're a brother or a sister to that person, whether you're just a friend.
Exactly.
Whether it's a job for you.
Exactly. And so how can you develop a strong, healthy relationship between you and your carer?
You can learn each other's interests and communicate and understand each other.
Communication is key.
Communication is key, exactly. It's always good to have a support worker that's got the same interests as you. Because then it doesn't seem to be a job for them. It's more like every day. I've got support workers that tell me, man, time flows with you. That's because it's like hanging out. You enjoy the time because we've got very similar interests. It's not a job, but it's a job.
Yeah. But it's also understanding that, you know, they have a role to play. But it's like that you got to develop that trust between you and, you know, the person that you're caring for.
It's making that you be more support for our loved one to care for us.
So more support is needed for those that care for us.
Yes.
And I guess there are organizations out there like Carers Gateway.
Yes.
That would be more than happy to support those carers that are in need. But as well as one more information about developing and building relationships with an individual.
Ibi, do you think it's healthy to chop and change carers?
Look, ideally, once you've got that relationship between, you know, you and your carer, and, you know, you're happy with that relationship, I don't think it would be wise to change carers unless something happens or unforeseen circumstances arise. Then I guess, yeah, you would probably change carers. But that's just a matter of whether you need a carer at the end of the day or not. I mean, if you really are in need of one, then yeah, choose someone that, you know, works well with you. You have that relationship with. That's very important. Because remember, at the end of the day, it's your life. You get to choose the way you want to live.
Like, if you're with a company and they've got many carers, you choose the one you're most comfortable with and you tell them, these are the ones that I want first for choice. And if you can't, then choose that person.
So just to wrap up, David, what are your final thoughts on this matter?
My final thoughts on carers, some people can take it as a job. Some people are born into it. Some people, it's their obligation to be a carer. Some people just take it as a job. So, but with the ones that take it as a job, they have to put their heart into it too. And when they put their heart into it, they become good carers.
Well said. I agree with you, David. And Jonathan, what is your final thoughts?
My final thought is care shouldn't be an obligation. It should be a mutual understanding between the two parties involved.
Yes, so care shouldn't be an obligation, but rather a mutual agreement between the parties that are involved. Awesome.
Including our family who support us.
Including the family that support us.
Including family.
Nah, good stuff, good stuff. Jonathan and David, thank you very much for sharing your insights on carers.
What's your final thoughts, Ibi?
I agree with both you and Jonathan. Carers are an important aspect of a person with disabilities' life. You know, people with disability should live the life they want and choose. And carers are there to, you know, support them along the way. But like Jonathan said, there should be a mutual agreement between both parties. And so we go from there. Look, happy National, I guess, Carers Week for everyone out there. For all the carers out there. You have.
And we do appreciate all your care.
Thank you very much, David. We do appreciate it. And keep up the good work. You've been watching Grip Chat, your weekly podcast on everything disability. Join us next week as we talk about more things disability. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye, and please like and share.